Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study meeting. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, May 17th, 2019. This is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at Chapter 2, page 26, and there is the solution, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with, "But this man still lives." And we'll be reading this one paragraph, ending in, "Willing to maintain a certain simple attitude," and that's on top of page 27. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Donna B. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Kathleen O., Kathy G., and Julie E. B. Our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M., and Robin P. will be our announcer today. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, May 16, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,913. That's 12913. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, May 17, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,916. That's 12916. The OA Pre-Emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through the abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Donna B. to read our 12 steps of OA. Donna?
This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable.
Too much KFC and McDonald's.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Donna.
Yes, sorry, Donna.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
If you're a moderator, please press 1. Otherwise.
2. Can I be heard? Can I be heard?
Donna, are you there?
Yes.
Heard.
Donna,
yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
You are now unmuted. You are now unmuted.
Hello.
You are now unmuted.
Oh.
You are now unmuted. You are now unmuted. You are now unmuted.
Okay. Hopefully somebody clears the line. I think the line is clear now, Donna. Thank you so much. Please go ahead, Donna.
Can you hear me, Sherry?
Yes, I can. I certainly
unmute
can.
Yourself. 4 or 6, decrease or increase the conference volume. You are...
Well,
please
we're having a little technical difficulty, but Donna, hang in there with us, please. Donna, hang
okay.
In, Donna. Go ahead.
Number followed by the pound sign.
Yeah, no.
If you are the moderator, please press 1.
Hello.
Others, please press 1.
Hello. Hello.
You are not now muted. You are not now muted. You are now muted.
Donna, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I think we're past that.
Okay.
Access denied. Access denied.
Okay. Thank you, Donna.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, let's go. Let's
okay,
try it.
Okay.
Try it, Donna.
Okay.
Donna. Okay.
Hello?
Sherry?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here with you.
We're going to get through this, Donna.
Okay.
All right.
I think we're ready.
Okay. Two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
And thank you, Donna. Thank you for your service this morning. And Athena B., we would love to hear the 12 traditions. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B., recovered in Northern California, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, Athena B., for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and that includes your mute button, so please do use star 1. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 26, paragraph 4, and it begins with, "But this man still lives," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. So would Kathleen O please get us started, please?
Good morning, Athena, and thank you for your service this morning and everyone's service who cleared our lines. It sounds so nice now. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. But this man still lives and is a free man. He does not need a bodyguard, nor is he confined. He can go anywhere on this earth where other free men may go without disaster, provided he remains willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. And going where other men may go without disaster. That reminds me of when I would go into a restaurant, it was a disaster. And I can go in one now and look and act to most people like a normal person. I know I'm not when it comes to food, but to the outsider, it looks that way. And so this free man, of course, is Roland Hazard. And, you know, here's a man that was born to a prominent family. He was smart. He attended Yale. And he had a lot going for him, but he couldn't stop drinking. And self-knowledge didn't work for him. And self-knowledge didn't work for me either. And even having the famous, you know, Carl Jung couldn't help him. So no human aid worked, and self-knowledge did nothing to stop him from picking up. And that was my experience. I can relate to this. I spent decades in the insanity of thinking a doctor or a book or a magazine article was going to solve my problem. And they never did. And the insanity was I kept trying. It's like knocking my head against the wall and thinking, you know, it was crazy. It was crazy, crazy. So provided he remains willing to maintain a certain simple attitude, he was able to go anywhere and be free from alcohol. And the willingness to maintain this certain simple attitude is relying on a higher power, finding a higher power, then relying on this higher power and working these steps. To have my heart filled with the power which allowed me to experience happiness through working these steps is nothing short of a miracle. The joy and freedom I experience from the mental obsession, it comes from a food plan that doesn't trigger my allergy and avoiding the foods that I used to eat that triggered the allergy where I couldn't stop eating them. So today I eat to live. I don't live to eat. I eat to have a healthy body, and I no longer have to eat the garbage that was really killing me. And the best of the best is the freedom, you know, freedom from being embarrassed of how I look. I would not attend celebrations of friends because I couldn't fit into appropriate clothes. I mean, I wouldn't go to weddings because, you know, you can't wear sweatpants. I mean, I had this uniform, this fat uniform of sweatpants and this baggy t-shirt. And it's like, you know, you can't go places in that. And so, you know, that is physically wonderful feeling, but the mental, emotional, spiritual part is just knowing my higher power has my back. If things don't go my way today, I don't have to get all crazy and try to control things and try to force my way to happen. Today, I can just trust and rely on my higher power that, you know, my higher power has my back and everything's going to be okay. And there are so many examples I have of where that worked. It's like, thank goodness I do that today and I don't try to force my way. You know, not having to feel like I have to control people or places and things is really wonderful. And being free from the four horsemen of terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair, it's truly a gift. So the pages, you know, the solution is in the pages of this book we're reading. Thanks, Sherry. The solution is no longer the food. I need to remain willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Kathleen, for getting us started. So again, I'm just going to remind everybody we're in Chapter 2, There is a Solution. We're on page 26, paragraph 4, starting with, "But this man still lives." and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. So who would like to share this morning?
Laura W.
Jackie.
Okay.
Jackie H.
I heard Jackie
G. Roz G.
Okay. Roz G.
Julie.
Joanne B.
Okay. I think I heard, was that Julie E. B. in there and then somebody else?
Yes. Yeah.
Joanne B.
Gotcha, Joanne.
Donna B.
And I have Donna B. Well, we have our lineup this morning, folks. We're getting going here. Awesome. So I have Laura W., Jackie H., Roz G., Julie E. B., Joanne B., and Donna B. We've got a lot of B's going here today. All right. So, Laura W., please go ahead.
Thanks so much, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. This is such a short paragraph, but it has so much power to it. This man still lives and is a free man. The promises tell me that I'm going to know a new freedom and a new happiness, and I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, and I certainly do that today. I went through what I had to go through, the torture and the living hell of anorexia and exercise bulimia, in order to be where I am today. I truly believe that. I believe there's no greater proof of God in my life other than the fact that I'm standing here alive and healthy on the line talking to you guys. I should have been 6 feet under when I was in my 20s, and something greater than myself said enough. Something greater than myself told me in my head that I had to make a change. And it wasn't easy, but as soon as I was introduced to these steps, I found it was very simple. And I don't need a bodyguard, because you know what? Even a bodyguard's not going to protect me. A bodyguard only protects my body. It doesn't protect my mind. And that is the biggest problem of my disease, is that mental obsession that drives me into self, that drives me into horrible, dangerous behaviors. It drives me into separating myself and isolating myself from my family and my friends. You know, I can't intellectually solve this problem, and a higher power must solve the problem. And it tells me right here, other free men, I can go anywhere where other free men go without disaster, provided, there's the condition right there, provided I remain willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. And for me, that simple attitude is a spiritual connection. It's a relationship with a higher power. It's death of self. It's rebirth of new self. It's caring about other people more than I'm caring about myself. It's living life without using food, restriction, or exercise as a solution. And my recovery has to have a life of its own. It has to be separate from outside circumstances. It has to be separate from life. It has to be separate from death. It has to be separate from parties. And you know, I did not go to my best friend's wedding because I had just gotten out of treatment years ago, and I was afraid. I was abstinent, but I was... you know, stark raving abstinent. I was afraid. How was I going to do this? I certainly couldn't bring my food there. Little did I know that today I bring my food everywhere, because life is not about food. I fuel my body and then I go about the day with my family, with my friends, with my colleagues, with my work partners. And that is the gratitude that I feel today, that I'm living life. You know, food doesn't hold any importance in my life anymore. And that's insane, because food was everything to me. Food, calories, weight, exercise, you know, so I'm so grateful. And there is a solution, everybody. There is a solution. There's recovery. And there's not just recovery. There's being recovered. You know, I don't want to eat compulsively anymore today. And that's a miracle. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. And Jackie H., you're up, followed by Roz G. Jackie?
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. Thank everybody on the line for your service. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. I read this paragraph this morning, and I thought I just have to share. I have to have a voice in this paragraph. It's such a promise and such a light. But this man still lives. That word lives really, really jumped out at me. Because I'm a few years old. I'm a few decades old here. And I am just now, honestly, starting to live and to connect with other people and to live free. Oh, my goodness. I've spent so many years. I had such a love-hate relationship with food. I used it to soothe me, but then I hated it for what I felt like. I was afraid. I was terrified of food.
How can you be so terrified of something that you use to soothe you? It was insane, absolutely insane. From the time I was 12 years old, or maybe even 10, 11 years old, until, honestly, a few months ago, almost a year ago, because number one, I was in denial. I did not want to call myself a compulsive overeater. I had an eating disorder, but I didn't want to, I did not want to call myself an over compulsive eater. And when I finally really, really identified in, man alive, I really do live a free, recovered woman. Food is not the most important thing on my agenda anymore. It was, and I didn't just use food. I used other things too, because I had this soul sickness. I just had this bankruptcy in my soul, and I was trying so hard to find something outside of me to make me feel better, to complete me, to soothe me. And you know what? Absolutely nothing worked until I did this simple program. And you know what? I'm evolving today. I had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. But I am evolving spiritually, physically. Oh my goodness, I'm not focused in on this body, what it looks like. I had such a issue with anorexia and bulimia and still wanting to eat, and oh my goodness, I think about that soul walking around like a dead person. That's how I felt inside, empty on the inside. And here I am today. Oh my goodness, I am alive, truly, truly alive. There's light in my eyes. Mm-hmm. There's light in my breath up and light in my step. And I get to be of service to my fellows and to my God. And I cannot be more grateful and more thankful for what I have in my life today. And I can keep this. I can stay alive as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. And that is the priority of my life. Food is secondary, absolutely secondary today. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I'm anxious to hear what everybody else has to say.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Roz G., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Roz?
Hi, my name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm free from jealousy. I'm free from fear of being single for the rest of my life. I'm free of anger. And if I do get angry, I'm free of staying in it for hours and hours. I'm free of feeling sorry for myself. I'm free of all those character defects. Do they return? Yes. But when I plug into that plug in the morning and I get power from on high and I develop and improve my relationship with power, my warm blanket, my higher power, I get the juice that I need to get on throughout the day. And last night I was at a retirement celebration with my job. I'm not retiring, but you know, I was there to bring flowers to a person who was very kind to me throughout my teaching career. I was there to not eat all the pizza and to have an order of salad. All the salad ran out. So what did I do? I went to the counter and I bought a salad because everything was free. But it was like, well, you know what? So what? I'll just go buy a salad. And then I sat there and laughed it up and had a great time with my friends. But because that morning I sat in meditation for 10 minutes, I got the power that I needed to be able to do that. I have to do it every day. I get to work with other people, and they don't understand that they are now my sponsors. So my attitude has changed a lot. When I was a little girl, my mother used to tell me I needed to change my attitude. And as this little girl, I didn't know what the hell attitude meant. That was a big word for me. I didn't like it. But today, I love the word attitude because I get to change it. I get to have a good attitude and a pleasant one. and one that is happy for other people, and one that takes joy in little things in life. And I'll just end my share by saying tonight, I'm going to graduate with my doctorate degree. And there's probably going to be a lot of food there. But I don't need to do that. I just need to bask in the hard work that I've done in my life because of a result of these steps. And thank God and my sponsor who put up with all of my talking about it and anger and resentment at my chair. This program works. It works. It really does. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Julie E. B., you're up, followed by Joanne B. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. To be free. Wow, that sounded like such a unbelievable promise when I was imprisoned in my own body, and couldn't move, couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. My mind was constantly racing with thoughts. I thought of others, but really about how to make my life, people-pleasing I called it, how to make my life better by interfering with the lives of others or obsessing about the lives of others. And somehow, if they got calm, then I would be calm. Or just life circumstances. You know, I was linked to life circumstance. Something bad happened, then I did something bad to my own body. Something good happened, well, then maybe there was a God. Maybe there was a power greater than me. And that did not lead to freedom. That meant my life was always linked. I was always living from the outside in. Today I live from the inside out, and I've had some craziness these past couple weeks and in the outside world. But my higher power just keeps loving me. My higher power keeps caring for me, protecting me, nourishing me. So I can go anywhere. And honestly, most people, they say, oh, I thought you were just kidding that you could ever be free of this obsession, that you could go anywhere and see food and it's not your food. And, if you came to scoff, if you think that's probably some joke people are playing, just stay to pray, stay to focus on something, following the simple instructions of someone in whom the problem's been solved. Reach out, get a sponsor, talk to fellows, because misery and isolation, I used to treat with misery and isolation, and all there was more misery and isolation. So even if it's the scariest thing you've ever done, make a call today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. And Joanne B., you're up, followed by Donna B. Joanne?
Hi, this is Joanne B. from Texas, and so grateful to be here. Thank you. I love what I've heard so much, and I could just say the very same things. It's so exciting. When I think about I can go anywhere and I can, that I am free. I loved what someone said about I'm free, finally learning to be free as an older woman, and wow, so exciting. My eyes do glisten and light up. My inner person has so much more sunshine. And what I'm excited about is that I'm waking up every day, and I'm not sleeping my day away. I still struggle trying to learn a new habit because the old habits were the easier route to take because that's what I was used to doing. And now I'm getting to see that I'm not going to die if I wake up 30 minutes early, you know, and I'm growing and changing. And what I'm free from is hatred. I'm free from holding everybody's drama. They're thinking that it's mine and that I've got to be part of it, and I have to carry that with me for them because, you know, I'm so wonderful, right? And one of the most beautiful things is I'm free from confusion, from all the different voices that spoke in my head and all the different mindsets. I'm learning to have one mindset. I'm learning that I can believe I can be myself, and I'm learning what that is. It's just so beautiful. This program has showed me it's so much more than just this food business, that I do get to go places where I don't have to be afraid, and I have that neutrality, and I love being with people as they're eating their special things, and I have my food with me, and it doesn't bother me. They probably think some of what I eat is crazy, but, you know, that's okay. But I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful, and thank you all for being my encouragement and just helping me, even when you don't know it, because when I'm listening to you, I'm hearing where you've been, and then part of me, I'm thinking, you know what, until you get it, you hold on to what they're saying, and that's what I did, and I just did what I was told, and God brought me to that place where I understood, and I was able to have it as my own, and I'm thankful. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. And Donna B., you're up. And before we hear from Donna, I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in There is a Solution, Chapter 2. We're on page 26, fourth paragraph, beginning with, But the Man Still Lives. So let's hear from Donna B., and then we'll take some more names. All right. Donna B., you're up.
Hi. Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And I'm imagining being at this paragraph with a sponsee that's new to the program and looking at the question, what is a simple attitude? So when we've arrived to this chapter, we have been through Bill's story. We haven't really been through more about alcoholism or how it works or into action. So if my sponsee were to say to me, what is a simple attitude, I'd want to go back to Bill's story and see where Bill was as he was approached by Ebby. And what, this is part of my just favorite part of the book, but he says, my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he couldn't do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. Then he had in effect been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. Had this power originated in him? Obviously it hadn't. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all. So for me, that simple attitude at the beginning part of working the program is, there are people sitting in front of me that are saying, this has worked for me. This has changed my life. And it did not come from my Herculean efforts. It came from a power greater than myself. So I would ask my sponsee at this point to have the attitude to look at me, to look at others, to listen to their experience, and to trust that this program really does work. And it works because there is a power greater than ourselves. We don't have to define that power. We don't have to have a concept of God. We just have to look at others. And for so long, my power, my faith in the power, was largely driven by the belief that if this worked for you, it can work for me. And I held on to each person as a flimsy reed until my fists were clenched around 10, 20, 30 flimsy reeds as I began to connect with so many people that have recovered through this program. So for the newcomer, this simple attitude does not have to be one of great faith.
Simple reminder?
It's just looking at the person across the table and being in awe that this program has worked for them and it can work for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, so now we're up. We're going to be taking some more names here. Who would like to share on paragraph 26?
Michelle.
Page 26.
Beatrice O.
Okay, so I have Michelle. Michelle, what's your last initial?
J.
Michelle J. I heard Beatrice O.
Suzanne B.
Jean J.
Suzanne.
Jean J.
Okay, Suzanne, what's your last name? And I got Jean J. We'll get Suzanne's last initial when she comes up. Jean J. Okay, I have room for two more.
Robin P.
Robin P. And one more. Dive in, the water's warm. Got one more. Come on, you can do it.
Hey, I'll do it. Lisa J.R.
All right, Lisa J.R. All right, thank you, Lisa J.R. Okay, so I have Michelle J., Beatrice O., Suzanne, you'll let us know your last initial, Jean J., Robin P., Lisa J.R. Okay, Michelle J., let's go.
Michelle J., can you hear me?
I can. Thank you, Michelle.
Great. This is me from Arkansas, the newbie on the block. First time on the rodeo. And you know, guys, it's so wonderful because as I listened to the paragraph and then I heard what it elicited in all of you, it brought up this pep rally. And I'm in my kitchen and I'm hearing this wonderful pep rally because today I need to have all that. And I am getting that. And I am feeling the freedom. And I'm slowly gaining it as I'm going through these steps in 10 now. Although I'm heading towards a weekend with lots of different family members, lots of different circumstances. Somebody called today and told me somebody had passed away this morning unexpectedly. And yet, I feel this freedom to go, I got this people behind me and God behind me and this program behind me, and I feel like I can handle it with everybody's help. And I just want to thank you for all of that. What a great pep rally this morning. I love you all. God bless you. Have a good weekend. And it has.
Thank you, Michelle J. And Beatrice O, you're up, followed by Suzanne, and we'll get your last initial. Beatrice O, go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O from Los Gatos, California, recovered food addict. I really like this paragraph because it says this man still lives and he is a free man. So I just want to say that I've had lots of people in my life through the years tell me that it was basically doomsday for me. And that's what Roland was told before he walked a free man. He told them, you know, that, you know, he, you know, that he wasn't going to survive. And so Roland, I think he had a decision to make. And that's why he walks a free man. He had a decision to make, and he had to change his attitude, and he had to come to believe. And I don't know in what order he did that, but he had a stake. He was a stakeholder in what was going to happen to his life, and he was able to accept what this psychiatrist was telling him, because we all have free will. And I had a sponsor who always used to tell me, remember your ABCs, attitude, behavior, and choice. Because I've lost, really, power, choice, and control over this food. And so that's why I'm able to walk as a free person without the obsession. You know, they say it's about the food, and then it's not about the food. And I think this whole program for me is about a spiritual awakening and a spiritual connection with my higher power. And that comes first. So I just wanted to say for the newcomer, that power, you can find that power, and that power is here. We just have to make a decision to walk as a free man, as a free person, because it's here. And it's like recovery is being offered to us on a silver platter with God's hands open and saying, here it is, take it. And so I know, I guess the last thing I want to say, I kept waiting to be struck abstinent for a long time. And I didn't realize that I needed to make a decision. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And Suzanne, you're up. Could you please give us your last initial place of your name? Suzanne?
Hi, Sherry. It's Suzanne B. in California.
Oh. Hi there.
Hi.
Go ahead, Suzanne B.
Thank you. So, but this man still lives and is a free man. For me, it's not only freedom from compulsive overeating, but it's really freedom from negative thought, and especially freedom from guilt. And to have tools today to help me love myself is really invaluable. And with that, I'll share and stop. Thanks. Pass.
Well, thank you, Suzanne B. And Jean J., you're up, followed by Robin P. Jean J.? Sorry, one to unmute, please.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Jean J. here in Portland. So this paragraph, you know, we're talking about the spiritual experience here, the psychic change. And in my history, it has been a function of step one, you know, and two and three, but really step one. And this business of unreservedly accepting the idea that I really am bankrupt when it comes to food, that it just has not worked. And what has been the conundrum for me is that on a daily basis, it seems like I can control it. And if I'm going to break my abstinence, if the disease comes talking, they'll say, well, you know, I'll get back on tomorrow for sure. And I'd be, as so many of us say, a wealthy woman if I had a buck for all the tomorrows that have been happening for decades in my life. So finally, the trick for me has been to look at the long durée, look at my life over time, not just at the one day thing where the disease is so powerful and convincing, but to realize that year after year, I haven't been able to get anywhere with this puppy on my own devices. Just no. And that the sacrifices have been so significant and sorrowful and grievous, and that true freedom and happiness have not been mine because I have remained mired. And so putting my arms around that idea then leads me to the food plan that saves me. The food plan is clear. That is my plug in the jug. I get that crystallized. I commit each day, and I'm free. And in that act comes this, in my experience, this spiritual experience that lifts me up and allows me to connect with a higher power and be a good servant, or try to start being a good servant anyway, and you know, slogging down that broad highway with all the sisters and the brothers. So I'm very grateful to be here today and be studying the book with everyone. And I will pass. Jean J. Portland, Oregon.
And thank you, Jean J. And Robin P., you're up, followed by Lisa J.R. Robin P.?
Thanks so much. Thank you for your service. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, if you would tell me that I would be 4 years without binging and vomiting, without starving myself, without compulsively overeating and not knowing where the stop button is, and I just would have a very hard time believing you until I came into this program. I lived such Russian roulette, and now I'm such a free person, you know, free indeed. It really is freedom. That I get to rely upon my higher power and know that God's got my back, God's got my life, and I just keep surrendering all areas of my life to God, one day at a time, one step at a time, and I keep getting carried and keep getting affirmations, and it's so much better to live a life of faith than to live a life of desperation and fear and loneliness, that profound loneliness of doing it alone, in isolation without God. And once that mental obsession with the physical allergy kicked in, I was gone for the day. All those wasted days of precious life. And now I get to live my life and face things that I was terrified about. And I get to show up. And fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. That's one of the promises of this program. And that's what I'm receiving today. I'm not agoraphobic today. I went through periods where I couldn't even leave the house. And now I just felt so much shame. And that's lifted. I get to show up and let God shine his light through me. And I pray before I go and as I go. And I'm carried. It's a whole different dimension than living in hell. I'm so grateful. And thank you all. God bless you all in your recoveries. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Robin P. and Lisa J.R. You're up. You'll be our last one today.
Thanks for your service. And I apologize for the unbridled outburst. Oh, I'm so excited about this book that sometimes I kind of work things out. So Lisa J.R. here in Baltimore, gratefully recovered. He is a free man. Well, I can say that I've had a faith walk for my entire life, pretty much, and I was free from just about everything. The condemnation of being, you know, a failing in many ways. However, where the food was concerned, I had Stockholm syndrome for about 48 years. My higher power flung those gates open, from that dank, skanky dungeon I was in with the food, and I stayed there. I said, "Nope, you know, I'm comfy here, God. I don't want to come out of here." So, you know, I love, you know, he says here, we don't need a bodyguard. Geez, you know, day and age, that's all that's called, a sobriety coach. You know, somebody to knock the jug out of your hand or the martini glass from your hand. You know, that some of those folks make $1,000 a day just to follow celebrities around. We don't need that. We have the program. We have God. We don't need a sobriety coach. We have our God, whoever we choose to call our higher power. And I love that provided he remains willing to maintain a certain attitude. And I know what people mean when they say willingness is overrated, but it kind of scares me when I hear that, because I know that willingness and action are both bedfellows. I know that when I take action without willingness, that I'm back in the disease thinking of robotically just doing things like I used to eat. I used to take that kind of robotic action about my food, but I have to be willing. I have to have a clean heart and clean hands when I put this stuff down. And there's a great line in the psalm, you know, bind my sacrifice to the horns of the altar. You know, I gotta bind it there. I gotta go to God's throne room sometimes and leave this disease at His capable hands, because I can't handle it. Not one day, not one minute. I can be back in that thinking in a second. But like my sister said before me, we're free indeed. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa J.R. Well, we've got, I'm going to go ahead and close early today. I want to thank all of those who shared today on the line. This was a great meeting today. I'd like to thank Team Friday for their service, and that was Donna B. on the 12 Steps, Athena B. on the 12 Traditions, Kathleen O. read our text, Kathy G. is going to take us out on page 164, and Julie E. B. as our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Leslie M., and announcements are Robin P. Let's give us all a great hand here, everybody. Thank you so much. And so now we will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kathy G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then.
Thanks so much, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., grateful compulsive overeater in Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.